Do you struggle with perfectionism and fear of failure, especially at the beginning of your writing ministry, and how did you overcome it? Perfectionism, I have never overcome it, but I don't struggle with it. I just live with it. I dance with it. I'm fine with it. I've written 12 published books and over 12 self-published digital books. And every single one of them, if you made me, which I don't do as a personal discipline, but if you made me open up the book and start reading it, I will see all the ways I could have reworded it to make it much better. And then I will have at least 12 hours of depression. But the next day I'll recoil. So I don't try to overcome perfectionism in myself. I'm not a perfectionist when it comes to other people. When it comes to my writing, I can never improve. And so the deadline, the publisher deadline, is what saves me, because I have to turn it in on a certain day. And so whatever shape it's in, I will do my best to get it up to my standards, but I know it can always be improved. Once it's in print, I don't look at it again, because it's torture. Fear of failure, I made peace with failure many years ago. Whenever I would minister somewhere or release a book or whatever it was ministry-wise, my whole goal was to succeed. And I came to a point where I realized, you know what, and I think the Lord brought things into my life to bring me to that place where I actually go to fail. Somebody asked me, what are you going to do in Reno? And my response is, I'm going to Reno to fail. The Lord's work is the Lord's work. It's not my work. I live under the mantra of this might not work. Then again, it might work. But if I fail, that gives the opportunity for the Lord to succeed. And so it's not me, it's Him. And the responsibility is His. And if there's success, it's His success, it's not mine. Because I'm very keenly aware of my own weaknesses and frailties and failures. I live not in fear of failure, I accept failure and I go to fail. And that's very freeing. If you can catch what I'm saying, it's a very freeing thing, because it's not up to me. I'm here, I'll be faithful, but if I fail, the Lord will succeed. It changes the focus entirely, and I've become very comfortable with failing, and I don't seek to succeed. I want Him to succeed. So what does it take to write a book? Specifically, time frame and schedule, daily schedule. What it takes to write a book is very simple: a pound of flesh and a pint of blood. Many authors have said this, I'll rephrase it, but writing a book is looking at a computer screen and opening a vein. It'll take a lot out of you. It'll take everything out of you if you're going to do it right. In terms of a schedule, I encourage writers, especially new writers, to make a daily appointment with yourself to write. Now, maybe daily might be a little bit too extreme, but at least every weekday. And just as you would pencil in an appointment with a doctor or the dentist or business associate, pencil in that you're going to write for however long, and treat it just as you would any other appointment with a human being. In that, if somebody says, well, hey, you know, let's do this and that, no, I have an appointment. It's penciled in. Person doesn't have to know it's an appointment with yourself to write, but you have to treat it that way, because if you don't have that kind of discipline and that kind of posture, is a very excellent chance you'll never finish your book, let alone begin writing it. So I would suggest you do. Now, some authors, they do a daily word count and all that. If that fits your personality, fine. I don't do that, but I'm writing every day. Sometimes it's a paragraph. Sometimes it's pages. Sometimes it's three paragraphs. But I've put something on to the screen, and I've hit save, and so I have been productive, right? So I would encourage that. Time frame, if you have a publisher, you'll, of course, be under the pressure of a deadline, which I think is a great motivator, which, by the way, is most of my days when it comes to writing. There are some times where I get flares of inspiration, and I can write quite a lot in a short period of time, but most of the time, and of course you have to understand, I've been writing since 2006, like I put out a book every year, and I'm at a point where I'm really tired and I need a break, which I plan on taking one soon. If you don't have a publisher, set a deadline for yourself. And also, what's really helpful too, for me it's been, is to segment, not only have a daily writing schedule, but deadline each chapter. Okay, by next Wednesday, I'm going to finish the draft of chapter one. And by draft, that just means you have most of the content there, but then later you're going to rewrite and rewrite and rewrite and go over it again and again and again and refine and refine and refine, which is really the secret to good writing, is rewriting and revising. In all you do in your ministry, what do you enjoy the most? I have had this in my life a few times. I don't have it presently, but the most enjoyable thing for me, the thing that I love, the thing that lights me up out of all the things I'm involved in, is working with a team, a ministry team, being a part of a ministry team where we're getting together regularly, even if we live in other states. The last ministry team I was a part of, we would regularly meet in Florida, actually, but not where I live, somewhere else. They would fly down and we'd spend 3 days in a hotel. And we'd fellowship, we'd strategize, we would do projects together, we would pray. It was awesome. And we spoke in conferences together. And that whole thing about being part of a team with a unified goal, with all of the fellowship, co-laboring and co-working with other people who have the same vision and passion, it's unbeatable in my experience. Part of the reason why I love it is because not only the benefit from having corporate input and vision and desire and aid and help, but I'm an extrovert by nature, so I thrive in relationships. So anyway, that's the answer to that question. How do you keep from wanting people to look to you and overcome the temptation to shine the light on us instead of the Lord? This is dealing with the purification of motives. Frankly, I don't think there's anything you as a human being can do except invite the Lord to come into your life any way He sees fit to purify your motives and to gain your heart fully for Him. And if you say that prayer and you mean it, then step back, because you're opening the door to some pretty heavy and difficult things to happen to you. But when the smoke clears and your garments are still smoking, the Lord will have gained something in your life. This is something you won't even think about. It's the cross. It's the breaking of God. And that's the only thing that I know that will purify your motives. And it's not going to make you perfect, and you're not going to glow in the dark, and you're not going to be sinless. But I look at this question now. If I looked at this question, 20 years ago, then I would say, wow, that's a good question. I wonder how to do that. I look at it now, and it's like, this is not a struggle. In fact, I will tell you this, in all honesty and sincerity, if it was up to me and I can do this and get away with it, that every book I've written would not even have my name on it. The message would get out, if that's possible, if it were possible, right? The message would get out, and Frank Viola wouldn't even be mentioned. I would love that. Can anybody guess why I would love that? Why would I love that?
Then they would view you as just one of them.
I'm not that elevated in my spirituality that I could say that,
pride,
although I agree with it.
There's a pride in the EC.
No, that's not it. If I put a book out that didn't have my name on it, then when people who didn't like it picked up their rifles, they couldn't hit me because they wouldn't know where the target is. When you put your work out into the world, especially if it has a cutting edge, you are going to catch it like you cannot believe. And that also is God's working to break you of the desire to be in the spotlight. You don't want to be in the spotlight when you're getting shot at from every angle. You see what I mean? You invite the Lord into your life to strip you of ulterior motives that are not pleasing to Him, and He will do it in ways that you may want to take that prayer back. I will say this too. If you say that prayer and you try to take it back, God becomes deaf. He won't take that prayer back. I've never seen it happen in my life. Suddenly, He cannot hear. Do you surround yourself with people who tell you the truth and give you constructive feedback? And the answer to that is absolutely. Before I publish a book, I always get it peer reviewed. There are people I know who I regard as peers, some of whom don't agree with me in my theology, and I even value that feedback even more, because they'll give me the objections that other readers will have, and I'll be able to either revise what I said, correct it, or anticipate the objection and answer it. If I have an important decision to make, of course, I will always pass it by my wife. She's much smarter than me and sees things that I don't, so I value her, and she doesn't agree with me on everything, so she comes at things from a very different perspective, so I value that highly. But I will also pass it by some brothers that are in my life. And I will also pass it by people that I don't know super well, but I respect them. I don't like echo chambers, people who always agree with you. I mean, it's good to have supporters, that's beautiful, but if you want to make progress, you have to get opposing viewpoints and people who see things differently than you do. What is God showing you in this season? This is really it. What is God showing me in this season? He is showing me the gospel of the kingdom. And that has been my occupation over, I guess, the last year. And I will just say that the gospel of the kingdom is the most powerful message in all the New Testament. It's virtually been lost today, and this is why Christianity is weak and anemic, unattractive, and impotent. And I believe there will be a restoration of the gospel of the kingdom in our time over the next 5 years. And my next book that comes out in 2018, the summer of 2018, is entitled Insurgents. And the subtitle is Reclaiming the Gospel of the Kingdom. And so I unveil what I understand that to be. So, all right. Thank you very much.